Taking care of your sexual wellness is now easier than ever with Telache. Our new online telehealth solution allows you the convenience of attending your appointment from any quiet, safe space. Check out checlinic.org/telache to learn more about this virtual solution, get a glimpse at the patient experience, or book your appointment. Stay safe, stay sexy, and stay ready with Telache.
It's Men's Health Month, and Priority Male is here to motivate, educate, and help you navigate your wellness journey. Follow me on PriorityMaleLLC.com, also on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Hope to see you soon.
Welcome to another episode of The Checkcast with your host, Priority Male LLC, Eric Taylor, and Steve. And now, The Checkcast. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing there today, Doc?
Great. How are you?
Awesome. Everything in Austin is always awesome.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So right now it is the month of June. When this recording comes out, the next big event will be something that they call Juneteenth. You pretty familiar with Juneteenth, Doc?
So let me be very honest with you. I'm from Alabama. So you know how the history is taught in our schools today. I learned a lot about Alabama history. And to be honest with you, nothing was ever in all of my years mention of Juneteenth. I learned about Juneteenth after coming to Houston almost 20 years ago. You know, so for half of my life, I had no idea what Juneteenth was. Right. And then I get out here as a grown man with a family and all kind of professional responsibilities, and I start hearing people mention Juneteenth. And be honest with you, I was kind of embarrassed when I found out what it was. But my wife was in a supervisory role at the time, and a couple of her employees would ask off for Juneteenth. My wife would be like, Juneteenth, June what teenth? 13th, 14th, 15th, 16th, because she's from Alabama as well. Right. Like, we didn't hear about no Juneteenth. What is that? So we educated ourselves. And I love history. And I don't know how I missed this in history. But when I found out about it, I'm going to be very honest with you. I was quite upset with the educational system there in Alabama, how they overlooked all of that, talked about all of the Alabama history, strategically not talking about the uprisings and things of that nature, and made it kind of look like it was such a great moment in time, never once mentioning Juneteenth. So I learned about this a lot later in life, but yes, I am familiar with it, and we do celebrate it. And it's a great thing. I just think I wish it was more acknowledged by our mainstream media, talked right. about more, and that history shared with everyone here on this planet.
I mean, I agree with you. I always celebrate it. You know, I celebrated since I was born, because I was actually born on June 19th. So wow. That's why I celebrated.
That's
so,
all right. Well, happy birthday coming up here, my brother.
Thanks. And so I learned about it as a kid. Somebody was like, did you know this? And like, you know, in California, like I grew up a lot of different places. I went to school in D.C. and Maryland. So I knew of it because it was associated with my birthday. But I didn't really know this is a celebration of it. In California, I've you know, my black friends celebrated it and they talked about it. But here in Texas, I think it's always been a pretty big deal here in Texas, you know, because this is kind of where it really took place. Texas chose to be a slave state. And so, you know, they didn't have to be. Texas got away from Mexico for the sole purpose of slavery. Mexico wanted to abolish slavery and Texas didn't. And so that's the reason why it was a kind of a big deal here. And I'm glad we've kept it alive here. There's a place called the Carver Museum here in Austin. And they usually have a celebration there every year honoring Juneteenth. Nice. So shout out to the Carver Center.
Yes, but sir.
Talk a little bit about it. Tell us what you learned. You're an education type, educational type there, Doc.
So what I learned is, again, we knew the Emancipation Proclamation was signed by then President Abraham Lincoln, which essentially freed slaves across the United States. if I'm correct. So with that said, there was a messenger, from what I understand, reading the history books, there was a messenger that was detailed to come to Texas to tell all of the Texas slave owners about this and inform the slaves that they were now free and the options that they had as far as, you know, moving north or making some kind of deal with their current slave owner to try to, you know, make a living for themselves. Apparently, somewhere in the history books, it says this guy never made it to his destination, or he was, you know, kind of caught and dealt with in a way that they dealt with people back then, which was likely some kind of torture and hanging.
Right.
That said, it was a delay of almost 2 years, right at 2 years of this news finally reaching the South. And I want to say it arrived in Galveston first. Galveston, Texas, is where that news was first disclosed. And I, from what I gather, a lot of the slaves were in awe. They didn't really believe it until they saw some additional documentation and then heard about things that were happening in the North and then so forth and so on. The slave owners, again, bucked the system, did not want to allow the slaves to be free. Some of them took some, you know, crazy methods of keeping slaves enslaved even when they were free. And long story short, they got freedom, but some of them, again, remained in bondage for still an extended period of time beyond what we knew to be the period of time where they should have been free. Right. And now today, we celebrate that. We celebrate the challenges that our ancestors faced at that time. And I'm going to be very honest with you. I thank God for me being born when I was born. Because had I been born back then, you'd probably be talking about me. Because there's no way I would have stayed on the plantation and dealt with this stuff that was going on. There's no way you're going to roll up on my house and think you're going to have your way with my mom and my sister. No. Yeah, they would have read about Eric Taylor, whatever my name would have been at that time. They would have read about this brother here, because And I cannot watch. I want to take a little detour here. I cannot watch stories or movies today that reflect on the painful history of what I know my ancestors went through. I can't watch it today because it wakes up something in my blood. It's almost like my DNA becomes alive, and I don't like how I feel. I don't like some of the thoughts I have when I watch this stuff, because I've read it in the history books enough to know. I've seen the images enough to know. One thing I will say about Alabama, there were a lot of museums where we went to where we did see the unpleasantries, things that happened during slavery, the hangings, the maimings, the you know, how they would do things to their private parts. And so I saw that, and some of that stuff is forever tattooed on my brain. And I can't believe that as a human, you would do that to your fellow, you know, brothers. Well, maybe they didn't consider brothers or sisters. They didn't even consider us men, 3/5 of man or a human or something, whatever that was.
Right.
So I could understood how you could see someone that looks like that is human, different color, but human, and treat them like an animal, and give the animal more respect than you gave them.
I mean, that's a part of the history. I saw one picture of this kid who was tied up, you know, outside, and, you know, basically being tortured. And his punishment was that he struck some white guy's pig.
Wow.
And so for this, they basically tortured this kid to death, you know, because he hit a pig. So they, you know, it's hard for us to understand today, but that this is a time when they didn't see everyone as human, you know, and I'm not really sure how far we've come from that when we have a president who says some of the things that the last one just said. So we live in a country still that a lot of those beliefs, you know, have been carried forth or are brought back to life. And
Steve. Great point, Steve. And I mean to cut you off, brother, but I will say this. With the last presidency and things that were brought out that were awakened that we knew were already there, just waiting in the wings for the opportunity to be who they really were, it is only going to take the snap of a finger, and these people will pick up exactly where they left off at a moment in time, doing the things they were doing back then, right now. The only difference is, the only difference is a lot of our brothers and sisters ain't having that BS, and we are packing and waiting. And the sad thing, too, is they know it. They know all we got to decide one day is to wake up as a people, be united, and decide we want some damn revenge. And guess what? That's the end of the world right there, baby, because it's all hell going to break loose. They don't want that wrath of what they know could come for what they've done and, honestly, what they continue to do under the guise of the law and the police and these judges on these platforms. And, boy, I could really go there, man, but that's a really deep subject for me, and it really triggers some emotions that I'm not perfect. I don't like. So yeah. I'll be very honest.
And I personally think that's part of their plan. I think, you have certain guys on television talking about they want a war. They want this civil war. You know, why do you think they want this civil war? Because in the end, when the war starts and they get overwhelmed, what are they going to do? They're going to play the victim. Oh, poor us. Look at us. And they're going to call on allies around this world to help them. And there's going to be those that do. You know, I don't think that Netanyahu is not going to come and help. You know, he's going to give them all the support he can, which will be wiretapping, using illegal surveillance.
Yep.
You think China's not going to help him? I honestly don't know. Maybe China won't. Maybe China will stay.
No.
I don't know.
I don't see it. I think, to be honest with you, I kind of try to keep up with some of the world news, but I'm not as up to date as I used to be because I had to unplug. But from what I see now globally, internationally, people look at America like America thinks they're perfect. They always want to try to influence others to do it the way they do it. And America has a lot of flaws and dirt on America's hands, especially when it comes to dealing with the people in these borders that are actually naturally born citizens. So I think if something like that were to happen, I think the great eight powers or whatever you call them that are out there, the Geneva Convention, all those people, I think they would actually sit back and let America figure it out.
American figuring out is not, in my opinion. Well, let's talk about that. Let's talk about that when we come back. What is America figuring it? I can't say that. What does America figuring it out look like? We'll talk about that when we come right back.
Next, yes.
Looking for a pharmacy partner with expertise in sexual health, PrEP, HIV, or gender-affirming care? AVITA's specially certified pharmacy teams understand how to address the needs of communities who are most affected by complex health conditions and who often face very unique challenges in healthcare. Our teams work hard behind the scenes to coordinate your refills, work with your insurance, and enroll you in any financial assistance programs you qualify for. We want our patients to feel deeply understood, cared for, and empowered to reach their full potential for health. With AVITA, you get the compassionate care you deserve. To learn more about PrEP for your sexual health, visit avitapharmacy.com/prep. That's AVITA pharmacy.com/PREP.
So we're back. So what does... Now, I was struggling to say, let America figure it out. What does that look like? But it reminds me of this comedian I follow online. He's called Kevin. I think it's called Kevin Stage or Kevin on Stage. Kev on Stage.
Yeah, I think I've seen him. Yeah.
Watch him. Look up Kevin on Stage in Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah.
He struggled with saying Lexington, Kentucky. So we'll talk about tongue twisters later, but what does America figuring it out look like to you?
America figuring it out looks like to me would be that the things we see from a crime standpoint in this country, regardless of race, ethnicity, socioeconomic status, people getting the same punishment. You know, because I worked in the prison. I've seen a lot of things and I watched the news. And unfortunately, you can say what you want, but I can see a white man, a Hispanic man, an Indian man and a black man commit the same crime under the same circumstances of the law. But unfortunately, who gets the more harsher treatment or punishment? It always seems to be the black man. And unfortunately, this legal system, and I think just Richard Pryor said it best, when you look at their legal system, there is no justice. It's just us that caught up in the damn system.
Right.
Because we get caught up on humbugs and you turn around. And it's like when you look at the police with the shootings that have happened all over the nation. And this has been going on for a long time. It's just so now everybody's got a damn cell phone and everybody's recording, going live and all of this. So now the police are having to police themselves. And it seems like they don't even care because they've been doing it so long. It's just natural to know that they're above the law and nothing is going to happen. Outside of this recent verdict with George Floyd, really nothing has happened to police from what they've been doing. But you see a police interact with a black guy, similar situation, same with a white guy. And it's amazing the restraint they have with lethal force with the white guys versus the same damn interaction with a brother. You telling me you can pull your taser, you can talk to this guy, you can really, you can walk away from him, the white guy that's waving a machete long as his leg, saying he gonna kill you, coming at you, you don't even pull your gun to shoot him. But the brother just say one thing out of line and reach for what you told him to get. And you shoot and kill him.
Right.
Come on, man. Come on. Yeah. I got a problem with that. And when I look at equality in this country, I'll be honest with you. It's a falsehood. There's no equality when it comes to dealing with the law. And it's just been what I see. And I could be wrong, but this is my personal opinion. I'm not, you know, taking this from anyone else, but it's just from what I see. And I just see that brothers get a short end of the stick. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. As a people, we got to do better. Let's be real. As a people, there's some things we put positions and places we put ourselves in we shouldn't even be. And that, with the negative image that is placed on men or black people in this country, does not help the narrative that already exists out there. So I always try to represent myself as the best of what it is that my people can be when I go out. But I'm still a man. I still have feelings. And some things do rub me the wrong way. So depending on what you say and how you say it or what you do, you might get something that you wouldn't expect from me. Because I try not to mess with anyone. I try not to. I stay out of their way. I do my thing. I treat everyone like I want to be treated. Until you show me otherwise, we're going to be all right. But if you show me who you really are, I'm going to try to avoid you. If you put your hands on me, you're going to regret it. I'm going to get your ass for the old and the new from since 1619. You hear me?
Yeah, I don't know what letting America figure it out would look like to me. And I'll tell you why is that I look at the history of this country. And every time, you know, we go back to January 6th when, you know, predominantly white group of, or I should say WASP, that's what they consider themselves, white Anglo-Saxon Protestant group of Trump supporters decided to rise up under his orders. I mean, even though he says he didn't do it, they were kind of going off what he said, and to attack our institution, to attack the Congress, to attack them while they're in session, and to put their hands upon them. You know, and that's basically an uprising. The result of that is, you know, people just, oh, no, it wasn't that. It was just a small riot, you know, where just a few months ago, the Capitol was surrounded. It could have been a little longer, but the Capitol was surrounded by, you know, riot police and gear expecting Black Lives Matter to make an assault. And so if Black Lives Matter, and Black Lives Matter is a peaceful movement. Granted, they have people among them which do crazy things, but the movement itself is designed to be a peaceful movement. And so the result of that was, you know, I think that if we let the state figure it out, depending on who's in charge, I don't think it's going to go the way that we think it is. I think it's going to go really badly. I think they're going to overreact, especially if it's blacks, because this is Juneteenth when blacks became free. You know, and it was denied them for several years. And if during that 2 year period there had been an uprising, you know, I think the U.S. government would come out and crush that uprising, even though they're like, well, we were already free, they wouldn't let us go. So that's where I think we stand right now. I'm concerned that we still don't. I mean, granted, we have Biden in office, and we have, you know, a female of color as, you know, the VP, but Obama struggled to get the system to give black people justice. So I don't think it's the head of the snake. I think the entire body of the snake is so contaminated with racism and systematic oppression that it can't be fixed. Not quite yet.
You got to hit the reset button. Great point, Steve. Great points, man. I stand strong on what you just said. Those are great points. And again, the only way I would see anything really changing is we have a complete reset and start over. And it's like a game. But if you reset, you got a whole new slate of players. You don't know what you're going to get. But back to your Black Lives Matter point, that is a peaceful movement. But you do understand a lot of times the things that the aggression that comes are outsiders that are not even associated with the movement, that are not always black, that come in as agitators to contaminate or sabotage what the movement stands for. And then they, of course, put a blanket label on everybody associated with Black Lives Matter as being violent. But I would love to see a day where we can demonstrate just like white folks. We can get together and have the Black Panther Party, just like they got the KKK, get police escort, go downtown with our rifles and our fists and our picks and our froze, just like they can put on that white garb and go down there and preach all that hate. I would love to see the day that we can do that. Again, when we get that, and then and I see the same number of white men, Hispanic men, Asian men, Indian men, whoever, other race getting killed by the police, just like we as black men are getting killed by the police, I can say that's equality. I mean, it's still a negative situation, but if there are just as many are getting killed, because I hear the argument all the time, just as many white people are getting killed by the police, I didn't see it on TV. And I do a lot of reading. I didn't see it in none of my news feeds. So show me where the last one you saw where a white man was killed by the cops, like they're killing brothers. And since George Floyd's death and verdict, how many brothers have still died at the hands of people we're supposed to look to for protection?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like I said, the system, it takes a lot to make a change. You know, they talk about chant down Babylon. I don't know. I think we have a long way still to go, but you know, and again, we're at a very interesting point. We can look back and see where we came from, you know, and the question, I believe that if you want to see the future, just look at the path that you came from. You know, there's a straight line to the path behind you and the path before you. You're just in the middle of that. So where do you think we are right now, Doc? How is it looking here in Texas as far? I mean, this is really kind of like where it really, you know, Juneteenth was really first celebrated. Like I said, I think it's mainly because the fact they were denied for so long. And when they came to the history books, they're like, no, well, we're not going to talk about this.
I'll say this. I've been in Texas almost 20 years now. And coming from Alabama, Texas is a city. But as far as the mindset here, it's the same as ass-backwards Alabama white people are. And the sad thing with that is, not only are there white people here that see the world the way they still see it in Alabama and probably used to see it here in Texas and again, still see it. You have Asians, you have Indians, you have Hispanics, and you have some blacks that view black people negatively because of the stereotype. Every at least once a month, sometimes twice a week, I have to give my credentials to somebody that's barely got a high school diploma, because they don't believe I am who I am and doing what I'm doing. Now, you think about that just for a minute. Okay? I got an office, seeing all kind of patients. Patients talking great things about me. Got a social media platform where you can go see me. You can Google me. You'll find all the credentials you need. But I got to turn around again and give a patient that just paid a copay or paid cash to see me, tell him who I am with my credentials. Why do I have to do that? I don't understand that. That to me baffles.
Right.
You know, where I am at this point in society. And then if I were to tell you about my just journey to become who I am today, I mean, that's a whole nother show in itself, because I went to school. All of my training was done in Alabama. And if you know anything about nursing, when you think of Nurse Steve, you don't think of someone who looks like me. You think of a female first.
Right.
Probably a white female, but you'll take any female because nursing typically seems to be a female dominated profession. And it still is. But there are a lot of men in nursing, but not as many that look like me. So just imagine what that classroom looked like when I was in school. I was one of very few.
Right.
So moving forward here, thinking again where Texas is, a lot of people are going to celebrate Juneteenth. My fraternity, Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated does a great job on the island and throughout the city in this corridor here in the Houston and surrounding area. They do a great job promoting Juneteenth, speaking to the young folks about Juneteenth, also sharing information downtown with the parade that they have. I'm not sure if COVID is going to allow them to do it this year, but they have a parade to where everybody comes out. And it's a pretty mixed crowd because some people come out of curiosity. They don't know what Juneteenth is, especially if they just flew in on a plane 10 hours away and they're new to Texas and they want to go, oh, there's a parade downtown. What's going on? So they go and find out and learn about Black history. So they're making some strides, but it's still not where it should be because, again, Juneteenth is in 9 days. I'm looking at the local news here. There's nothing on the news. And if you're not in the right circles, you're not even going to know this exists. Because they don't talk about it at all. And I really feel sorry for some of the Black prominent reporters on the local news stations here because I know I've seen some of them out. I know how they rock and roll in the city. And I know they want to talk about it, but they're not given the platform or the opportunity to do it from where they are with their current job. And that, to me, I would probably slide one in on them. I just have to deal with the producer later. But they're not talking about it because you would not know Juneteenth, what happened here in Texas, and what's coming to celebrate in a couple of days, you would not know that it's even happening right now.
Well, let's keep, so all of you out there in Radio Land, keep your eyes out and keep your ears out and let us know what you heard in advance of the celebration, which will be coming up here real soon on June 19th. And we'll be right back.
Che Relief has been established by the Center for Health Empowerment to support the people of Honduras in the aftermath of Hurricanes Eta and Iota. We are currently taking material donations at our clinics and monetary donations through our GoFundMe. To learn more and support Che Relief's efforts in Honduras, visit us on Instagram, where our handle is @CheClinic, our website, CheRelief.org, or give us a call. Our Austin phone number is 512-840-1273, and our Dallas phone number is 972-432-7783. We are taking both monetary and material donations. Thank you.
All right, I'm back. Had to get some water. When are you gonna bring me some water, Doc?
Well, I'm in Austin this Saturday, so I'm not sure what side of Austin you're on, but you know, the clinic at 4534 Westgate, I will be there from about 9 till possibly 2. I can bring a couple of cases. Come by and bring me.
Yeah, bring it right up. I'll come over to the clinic and pick it up from you.
Yes, sir. I got you covered.
So talk to us a little bit about that cool, refreshing water.
All right. So I have the opportunity to be a part of a great company and movement here in the state of Texas. Thanks to my wonderful uncle and CEO and fearless leader of 1186 Real Artesian Water out of Alabama, Otagoville, Alabama, to be exact. It is a water company that is Black owned, meaning that we own everything about the company, from the land to the well, everything about the label, the bottle, everything. And I would encourage you all to go to www.1186water.com to check us out. That's ELEVEN86water.com to check us out. But this is a pH of artesian water with a pH of 6.9. It is an ultra premium water. We don't add anything to it. It is confined in an aquifer thousands of feet below the ground. And we just tap it and allow Mother Nature's pressure and the finest bedrock limestone to filter this water all the way to the top. It is one of the most purest waters on the market right now. We're currently the official state water for the state of Alabama, for the state of Alabama retirement system. In Alabama, Budweiser is our major distributor. So we're everywhere in the state of Alabama, everywhere. You mom and pops, corner convenience stores, Winn-Dixie, Piggly Wiggly, you name it, it's there. We have slowly moved out. The goal is to take 1186 abroad globally, and we are rapidly approaching that. We're in the Atlanta market. We're in the Tennessee market. We're in the Mississippi market. We're here in the Texas market. We're working on deals right now for Louisiana. But here in Texas, our major major grocer is HEB. And if you're in HEB, if you're in Texas, you know HEB because HEB is culture here in Texas.
Yeah.
So we're in your local HEB in most of the major cities. We ship directly to HEB warehouse and they distribute it out to their store. So look for 1186 water. And when you see it as a blue bottle with 1186 written, you have like the tree of life. And there's a lot of to this bottle with the embossment that you, again, go to our website or Facebook page and you'll be able to see the story that I don't have time to really tell you, but you'll understand the name. You'll understand how the embossment on the bottle looks, why it's there, why we chose that, why the color scheme, all of that. So I definitely would encourage you to do that. But the other good thing about this is, again, this is a pH balance, 6.9. Perfect. Okay. As far as what your body needs. In the town that we're from, it's a town that needs revitalization. And the plant that we have there is doing just that in the community, providing jobs for local citizens. Again, tapping a natural resource that we've always known existed there, but no one was able to figure out how to get it to market. And my uncle was able to get the team together. Again, we were a part of the business as well and be a part of this great movement to bring this water, which again is a life source here on this planet. You can't have life without water.
Exactly.
And this is a really good product. I can't wait to put some in your hands, Steve, so you can try it.
All day,
but it's really big here in the city of Houston, and we also have a local distribution company that my wife and I own, Starlux Distribution, and we distribute to a lot of the local on-premise accounts, some of the restaurants, some of the home accounts, churches, other civic organizations that are really supporting the water. And I want to salute and thank everyone here in the Houston area and also in the Dallas area for your continued support for 1186 Real Artesian Water. We do appreciate it. We could not be here where we are without you. And we thank you for your continued support. And we look forward to great things coming in the future from 1186 Real Artesian Water.
I mean, it's important to have healthy water to drink. Like, a lot of people don't realize that. A lot of the water that comes out of your tap is contaminated with, you know, everything from prescription drugs to pesticides.
All kind of chemical runoffs. All kind of small particulate matter, all kind of things that potentially could cause health problems, could potentially be carcinogenic, meaning they cause cancer over a longer period of time. And it's just too many chemicals that they're using in the water out of the tap. You know, it's safe to wash your clothes with. It's safe to wash your body with. But it may even be safe to cook as long as you get it to the right temperature. You know, but even then, depending on what you're cooking, I question it. But as far as regular daily consumption, I've never drank from the tap in the city. Now, where I'm from in Alabama, this water, Steve, this well has been running. We went to school there. I know at least that well was running 20 plus years before I left Alabama. It was always a well running. There was always an artesian, like a spout somewhere that people would pull up, load, fill jugs, buckets, all kind of stuff. They would come from miles around just to get this water. So, again, bought some land, had timber on the land, had the timber removed, had the land surveyed by geologists, and come to find out, man, we have an aquifer that can run for, if we were to turn the pump on now, it free flows about 60 gallons per minute to the surface.
Wow.
Now, check this out, though, Steve. If we were to free flow this pump 24/7, 365, it would not run dry for 137 years. And this is the kicker. Every time it rains in the water table, this aquifer is replenished. So we have a never ending source of God's greatest gift to humans, to mankind, you know, to life. It is this real artesian water. So, but great. I can't wait again for you to try it.
I'm looking forward to it. I mean, that's what it takes. That's what it takes for a tree of life to grow. It has to have a water source that is healthy and is in abundance.
Yes,
and that's what creates the tree. And, you know, we all know, well, I don't know how many know about the tree of life. We should do a show just you talking to us about the tree of life. There's so much just right there to discuss.
Yes. Yes, indeed, brother.
So, okay. So that's good. So I'll get that from you Saturday.
Okay.
And then I'm going to go down and check it out at HEB. I didn't even know you had HEB.
So now this is what I would tell you to do, Steve. When you go to your HEB, probably take a bottle with you because it may not be in Austin. I know in Houston it's all over. I can't speak for the Austin market, but as far as we understand from the communication we've gotten from HEB, it's in most of their stores, some of it in select locations. They look at the market and kind of gauge it, but they control distribution straight from their warehouse. So if you go into your HEB and you don't see it, go to your grocery manager in that section where the water is and say, hey, can you get this water? And guess what? They'll get it for you because they have it.
Okay.
They have it.
I'm gonna do that. Matter of fact, I'm gonna put a little bit of pressure on them.
Yeah,
to make sure that we have it here in Austin.
Yes, sir. And they'll get it for you. And just let me know, because if not, I can make a call. We can get in touch with our contact. Say, hey, I got a friend in Austin. Went to store number so and so, and they told him they weren't gonna get the water because this is one other thing we run into. What we were talking about earlier here in Texas, some people don't believe. First of all, they don't believe this is a black water. They don't believe it's a black owned water. And when they find out, they do the research and they realize it's a black owned water, they don't, the grocery, some of the grocery managers have been intentional in not ordering it for their store. They say they don't want it.
Of course.
So we have that issue. But we've had people that have been diehard 1186 consumers that have gone in and have basically used their platforms and their voice to tell the store, look, we want this water. And what they're finding is, the margins that they're getting from this water that's being purchased by everyone, predominantly black, but by everyone, because once you try it, you ain't going back.
Right.
They at HEB realized this is a cash cow. It's like, hey, we got to keep this on the shelves and it's moving. Mm. I mean, they can't keep it in the store here right around the corner from me.
So that's the thing about it. Once they realize that it's going to move, they're going to want to keep it in the stores, right?
Yes, sir. So, yes, sir.
All right. Well, then me and you can talk offline, Doc. I'm bringing this bad boy to Austin.
Okay, there you go. I got the plug. I can literally get you. Like I said, I got a warehouse and a distribution, the van and everything. Matter of fact, I've delivered there in Austin a few times to Dr. AG with Chase. So it's I don't know what they did with it, but they bought a couple of pallets from me and I brought it to them. So yeah.
Okay, we can go offline and talk about this all day long. All right. All right, so let's take a little break. I want to come back and talk a little bit about some men's health real quick.
Cool.
We'll be right back.
Check out 1186 Real Artesian Water. This is a pH balanced water from the aquifers of Alabama, bottled at the source and delivered directly to you. Available at your local HEB.
So what were you saying about what thing did HEB do?
So for Black History Month, HEB showcased minority businesses. And our CEO, Marquise Forge, was brought out to Houston by HEB. And they did a very nice showcase of the water. They heard his testimony about the water, the story behind the water. And they had this promotion going called hashtag Be the Change. They had HEB employees wearing the shirts. There were black shirts with white letters, and they had a few that were red, all different colors. But they promoted in their local stores this water, and they actually had a picture of Marquise, our CEO, Marquise Forge, above the water. And they had the camera fanfare. We got a chance to meet all kind of people that we never would meet on a normal basis that were in high-level executive offices with HEB for Black History Month. So I thought that was a really nice gesture that they did during Black History Month. And it was a great showcase for the brand. And I'm going to be honest with you, the sales for the water took off exponentially since then. Wow. Everybody started buying it because they like, we heard about this water. We didn't know what it was. But when they saw the story, they were like, wow.
Yeah, and it's all about the story.
Yes, sir. And he tells it so passionately, I can't do justice to the story. But I love when he tells the story because it's captivating. You'll be sitting there, and before you know it, you drink one bottle of water, and you're asking for another, and you're asking for more. You have questions. You know, why did you do this? Why this? Why not that? Where'd the name come from? Oh my God, this is, oh, how do I get in touch with you? So it's a great story. Great story.
I got to go and talk to some guys over at HEB and get some more details on that.
All right.
Men's health. What can you talk about men's health for the month of June? Is there a tie-in there?
Well, the entire month of June is Men's Health Month. And on my Priority Mail platform, again, where men's health is the priority, I am the Men's Health NP, I have been sharing information daily about men's preventive health maintenance. I call it preventive health maintenance. M-A-N-tenance. Maintenance.
Right.
So I've been talking about the things that men need to be aware of. And one thing I like to do on this platform is I want to motivate, educate, and help men navigate their individual wellness journey. We men typically live shorter, sicker lives, and we suffer in silence because we don't talk. And I think you and I spoke about this on previous conversations. I know you've been following me for a while, Steve, so you've probably seen that as well. But women talk about everything. And because of the way women talk, lives are saved, lives are changed, women live longer. And the life expectancy right now for women is about 5 to 6 years more than us. And they're literally laughing all the way to the bank because of the way we live. We as men, we take better care of our mechanical, electronic devices than we will this body. And we won't go in for just the simplest annual physical, which could save your life. So what I'm doing this month is I'm talking about the bulk of health screenings that can give you really good mileage in this life. And most of the screenings take place between the fourth, fifth, and sixth decade and into the middle of the seventh decade of life. So you got a span of about 35 years from 40 to about 75, where a bulk of all of the preventive health screenings that take place are necessary to help promote longevity and good quality of life. So in your 40s, you need to have the conversation about prostate cancer. If you're not aware, the prostate cancer guidelines changed a while back, and not everybody's going to be screened for prostate cancer because what we're finding is there are a lot of false positive or there are a lot of other contributing factors that cause the PSA to be elevated, and you go through a lot of uncomfortable procedures and unnecessary treatment to find out that you don't have cancer or you have a cancer that's so small that you would have died from something else versus the cancer. And you know what men are. When you start messing with the prostate, below the belt and bedroom issues start to arise, and men do not like that. So that's changed. That's the main thing in the 40s. In your 50s, that's when the colorectal cancer screening starts, because colon cancer is one of the most preventable cancers out there. But most men won't go get a colonoscopy because there's like, that's an exit, not an entrance. And they don't realize they put an IV in you and give you some medicine, that feel good medicine. You could care less what they're doing. And the procedure takes so quick. Hey, and you might only need to have it every 10 years. Come on, man.
Right.
Being proactive. Then into the 60s, a continuation of the colon cancer screening, prostate cancer screening, if it was needed. Then there's some important vaccines you need in your 60s, depending on your risk factors, smoking history, lung history, COPD, or asthma. You may need your pneumococcal vaccine or the pneumonia vaccine. Hmm. Also, you'll need the shingles vaccine, because if you've had chickenpox in the past, if you've ever seen shingles or heard anyone with shingles, shingles is a very painful condition that you do not want to experience. But we have great vaccines to prevent that from happening. So those are two vaccines you definitely want to get in that sixth decade of life. And then as you get into the seventh decade of life, I might have missed a few things in that, but for the most part, those are the bulk of things, on top of always having your blood pressure check, always having your weight check. If there's risk factors for heart disease, having your cholesterol check annually or at least every 3 to 5 years. And again, with the weight, if you are a little bit overweight, being screened for diabetes. And there's some other screenings they're going to toss in there, looking for osteoporosis. They're going to check your bone mineral density, looking for skin cancer risk for those that are fair skin complected, that have abnormal moles. They're going to screen for those things. And these are very important screenings. And again, all of this can be taken care of at an annual physical once a year. All you have to do, go in once a year and check this out. See, a lot of these gentlemen have insurance plans that pay for the annual physical. It doesn't cost a thing. And some of them will send you a check in the mail for $25 to $50 just for going to get the physical. And the guy won't even show up.
Well, yeah, yeah.
They won't even show up. So, but that's the plan here this month for our men's health. I'm going to be talking about a lot of different things. I have some great videos on my Facebook Priority Mail private group where I only have men in that group. It's about almost 700 men in that group. But I have videos that I've done, live feeds that I've done. Some of them are replays because they were such popular videos when I did them back then. And I'm replaying a lot of these to just get men to start the conversation. Also, I have a shop talk series where I go to the barbershops, local barbershops here in Houston, and we talk about things that men don't talk about. I capture their undivided attention on Saturday because that's when most men try to get that fresh cut. They're getting ready for the weekend. I go in there, spend an hour or two, have some general question to answer any random question, and then I may speak specific to a topic like high blood pressure, diabetes, erectile dysfunction, or whatever kind of, you know, I feel like may go over well. And a lot of guys come up to me afterwards and say, hey, man, I needed to hear that. He said, well, you practice, you know, then we kind of right. have that conversation and I can help someone. So in that, I'm trying again, share this wealth of knowledge, leave this world better than I found it.
Yes.
If I only touch one person, I feel like I've done my job.
Right. This is a start. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's it.
Cool. So definitely need to, I mean, those are some solid points, Doc. You know, the crazy thing that you just said was that, I mean, some guys can, you know, their insurance companies encourage them so strongly, they'll even pay them $25 to go in.
Yep.
And they still won't come.
Won't even come. Yes, indeed.
Why is that? I mean, like you says, why are women laughing all the way to the bank and men refuse to even go to the bank?
So this is what it is. Our ego, man. Men are used to our ego and being able to fix and control things. And a lot of us have that is out of control for us because, you know, as a man, most of us are handy with our hands. There are certain things around the house you can do. And matter of fact, it's expected of you to be able to do some things. So with that, we men feel like, well, with this mind and these tools, I can fix anything and I can fix myself. So they'll do the Google research. I call those Google-ologists. You know, the Google-ologists are very, they can be dangerous.
Right.
They get that Google-ologist assessment on the laptop, and then they come want to see me and tell me what the Google-ologist said, and a lot of it is not scientific or evidence-based. But they try to self-diagnose, and based on what they find on the internet, they'll go into the store. And don't get me wrong, there are some great herbs, there's some great vitamins, there's some great things over-the-counter, old homeschool remedies that have medicinal value and could possibly have a good outcome. But some of these, unfortunately, do require more aggressive management from someone with additional medical knowledge and access to the pharmaceuticals that you would need to address that specific clinical finding, whether it's elevated LDL, elevated systolic pressure, a high hemoglobin A1C, or a high PSA. I mean, I could really name a lot of different things that you can't address with over-the-counter medicines. So that self-diagnosis piece is what gets a lot of guys in danger. And then the denial piece. We don't like to accept our mortality. We think we're going to be young forever, and we're going to keep doing what we're doing regardless. And a lot of men, I hate to say it, when they see that blood pressure, they feel like if they take that blood pressure, they got to take it for life, which most times that is the case. And they feel like it's going to affect their nature. When in reality, there are so many new great blood pressure medications out there, Steve, that won't even impact your erectile situation. What they don't understand, I'll leave you with this, is that erectile dysfunction as we age can be a natural process that's related to decreasing testosterone hormones, added weight, which can mess with your testosterone and male hormones, along with circulation. An erection is circulation, blood flow. If your blood is high in cholesterol and your arteries are clogged, what do you think is going to happen when you try to wake up Mr. Man downstairs? It's not going to work, or not work like he used to. So again, being proactive, not reactive, trying to eat a healthier diet. We're going to cheat from time to time, but trying to maintain some sensible things in our diet and try to keep our weight in as best control as we possibly can are key with regular exercise. And I see regular exercise as putting good health on layaway to when I can no longer do the things I'm doing at this point in my life. And if you do that, coupled with medicine, man, you can live the life that you're supposed to live. You'll get what the good book says, 3 scores and 10.
That's 120 years, right?
No, that's 70. That's 70.
It's 70 years?
Yeah,
okay, good.
Yeah, 3 scores and 10 is 70. At least 70. So, but most of us, Steve, most of our men are dying in their mid to late 50s, man. Some of them earlier than that.
Man. All right, you guys heard it here, right? Go and get your checkups. If not, just click on the links below and figure out what to do. And, you know, we'll hear a little bit more about the Priority Mail. We're going to come back here and take a quick break here. Come back, and we're just going to talk about some final thoughts here. We'll be right back.
It is Men's Health Month, and Priority Mail is here to motivate you, educate you, and help you navigate your wellness journey. Follow me at PriorityMailLLC.com. Also on the social media platforms of Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. Hope to see you soon.
And we're back for some final thoughts here real quick. So what do you got for me, Doc? What are your final thoughts?
Well, Steve, as always, I want to thank you for what you do, man, for reaching out to me, for the opportunity to speak on the ChaCast and to just share this information with your following in the world. Again, I can't thank you enough because, again, this message will hopefully someone will listen to this and maybe make some changes in their life based on the conversation we had and maybe look at life differently than they thought. Because you just never know. Somebody could be at the end of their rope today and listen to some of the things that we talked about when it comes to just Texas and Juneteenth and the importance of water to now men's health. And who knows what nugget of knowledge that they're going to pull from that that could have a very important impact, indelible impact on their life. So that alone, I like to be able to be on platforms such as this where I can share this information because, again, I'm passionate about leaving this place better than I found it. I've been blessed beyond my wildest imaginations to be where I am at this point in my life, and I don't take that lightly. I'm standing on the shoulders of ancestors that have gave the ultimate sacrifice for me to have this opportunity to be where I am. And, again, I don't sit on that because I know that the things that are in me, the world needs to know about it on the level that I can give it to them. And that's why I use my platform and any other platform such as yours that will allow me to come on and speak to these things. So I'm on fire for men's health movement. I love what we do here on ChaCast. I love what happens with what we're doing in the community there in Austin and Dallas with the Cha Center for Health Empowerment. And this is Pride Month. This is Pride Month. So during this month, we're celebrating those trailblazers that have gone ahead, that some of them have paid the sacrifice for us to have the opportunity to celebrate this month and have resources in the community that can provide this community that's been stigmatized and been shunned and pushed aside to be able to feel that they can love who loves them back, come get unprejudicial, unbiased care at a very good facility that can help them live happy, healthy lives and have a quality sexual life as well with the things that they need to be out there doing what they're doing. So, man, there's so many great things happening in this world that can outweigh the negative. But unfortunately, the way the media spins it, the negative is what gets ratings and what gets viewership up. And I try to not keep or entertain a lot of negativity in my life because I try to keep positive. And again, I want to share with those the great things that have happened and help those that may be in some difficult, challenging situations. And if what the gift that I have that my great God has given me, if it's going to change the life of someone, I want to be in a position to be able to share that with them. And again, help them move on in their life. So that's where I am, man.
I love it, Doc. I agree. You know, this is, first off, it's Pride Month. That's a great thing. And there's a lot to celebrate there, you know.
Sure.
And then, you know, it's also Juneteenth coming up right around the corner. You know, and that's also a Jubilee Day. It's called Freedom Day. It's Emancipation Day. Mm-hmm. And it's Men's Health Month.
Yes, sir.
You know, and so that's, again, also another form of freedom, because if you're taking care of your body, you're living a longer, healthier life. And, you know, when you leave this earth, you leave behind people that are sad. And so to leave early because of not just simply taking a simple checkup is really something that we should all try to avoid and share with others. And we're kind of at that one little point where all these are kind of like intersecting at once. So, you know, Doc, I love talking to you. You're an artesian well of knowledge. Thanks for sharing that for us.
Anytime, my brother, anytime.
And thank you all for listening out there. That's going to be our show. Thank you all for listening. Thank you, Doc.
All right. Appreciate you, man.
Be safe, have fun, and enjoy the apocalypse.
Yes, sir.
Talk to you later.
Peace.
That's our show. Thank you for listening. Please like and share. Happy Juneteenth. Be safe, have fun, and stay awesome.